The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The best shit, though, is when you come back from an audition and you're like, this is the worst audition I've ever done, and you're like crying and you're like inconsolable.
Yeah.
And then you get a call back.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You. Thanks for listening. We are a CastBox original produced in partnership with Studio 71.
CastBox happens to be the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android. Did you know that?
I did. I don't know if they did. But if you didn't know, you can find all your favorite podcasts here. You can also listen to Shit They Don't Tell You wherever you get your podcasts.
But we hope that you'll give CastBox a shot because we happen to think it's the best. No, we know it's the best.
It is the best.
How do we know?
Because they told us to say that.
That's exactly right.
But also, I really like it.
Me too.
But really.
Hey, I'm winking back.
No, I'm not winking. I'm not winking. I really like it.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Hello, thank you for listening to the Shit They Don't Tell You podcast. My name is Steve Green. I am joined here by my lovely wife. Her name is Nikki Limo.
Did you almost forget and you had to buy time?
No, I am dealing...
Her name is... What is it?
No, I'm dealing with a cold right now, and so I'm trying to stay professional and not cough on my...
Oh, okay. That's nice of you.
Thank you. So I had to do an interruption.
You also always intro these like you're announcing a baseball game.
No, if I was announcing a baseball game, I'd be like, hello, welcome to the Shit They Don't Tell You podcast. You're joined here today by special guest Nikki Limo.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
you should start that. You should start doing that.
Yeah, I probably should,
way.
Actually. I could do play-by-play. I love those guys, man. The L.A. guy, he's my favorite. The voice of the Dodgers for all those years, he's... Vin Scully, right? Yeah, he is basically the voice
He's
the voice. Yeah.
Cool. Well, today we're talking about failure and rejection. And yes, it is just me and Steve today. There are some topics that I feel like a guest would be offended by if we invited them on. We're like, yeah, we thought you'd be perfect for failure and rejection.
Yeah, we wanted to have you on today to talk about failure and rejection. It's kind of like when we had Horton on, we just talked about how he's old.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the best shit, man.
That was kind of fun,
though. Oh, dude, it was so fun watching him because his head just kind of sank. He's like, yeah.
I knew it.
It was
he
the
was
best.
Like, I knew it.
Because we didn't tell him why we were going to have him on, and we're like, hey, dude, we're talking to you about how you're fucking old today.
By the way, you should go listen to that episode. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
I liked it.
We made it work. Yeah. I'm kidding, Horton.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to do that topic because I feel old, and also I know he feels old.
Sure.
So, you know, seemed perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway, failure and rejection. Okay, so a lot of people experience this in life. A lot of people don't want to experience this in life, but we all do it, right? And I think a lot of us spend an excessive amount of time trying to avoid it. And I feel like something that I wish I would have learned sooner is just to embrace it.
Yeah, well, it's so tough to say that because it's the scariest thing in the world.
Totally.
In a lot of ways. It is still to me, by the way. You know, one reason I'm not out there doing stand-up every fucking week is because I'm scared of it.
Totally.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still scared of it while I still like the idea of it. I'm still terrified of it.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
But there's something pulling you to do it, right?
Yeah.
Or there's something pulling you to do comedy or performing. And of course, everything's scary when you're first starting. You don't have that much experience with stand-up. You've done it before,
exactly.
But you're
that's
not like a stand-up.
That's what scares me the most. Like, if I was doing an improv show tonight, I wouldn't even sweat nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of that doesn't even make me the slightest bit nervous.
Right.
But the idea of me doing something that I haven't done nearly as much.
Right.
Like, I've done 10,000 hours of improv.
Yeah.
I have not even done, I don't think, 1,000 hours of stand-up. So that becomes a different feeling.
I feel the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I did stand-up a lot, but improv terrifies me.
Right.
Even though I think it's fun, it's still terrifying because, like, you don't know what you're going to say. And then there's, you're working with other people. And, like, what if they say something stupid and you got to save it? Or what if you say something stupid and no one can save it?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's just tough because
it's terrifying.
Like, I'm doing a stand up show next week, actually. And, like, the day before Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, it's been a long time since I did this. I think I haven't done it since we were in Just for Laughs in Canada.
Oh, in 2014.
In 2014.
Like, first time.
So, yeah, I haven't done it since then.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so I'm both excited about it, but I'm also terrified of it. And the idea, obviously, the scary part of it is the rejection part of it, where it's like...
Yeah, because what if no one laughs?
Right.
You know right away if people are digging you or not.
Yeah.
Because they won't laugh.
Well, if they don't laugh, I'm just going to... I'll just rip myself into pieces the whole way through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you're an improviser, so you know how to do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is great. That's a great skill to save yourself.
I'll do crowd work to myself. I'll do the roast of Steve Green.
Yeah.
To myself,
wow.
Bro.
Bold.
Yeah, that's
bold.
That's my backup plan.
So bold.
Thank you.
So like what you do in normal life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the quest for happiness, I feel like this would have helped me a lot to have learned sooner to just embrace failure and rejection as part of success.
Yes.
Because it isn't separate from success. I think that's what the misconception people have, is that if you are failing, then you are not succeeding. But really, no successful person has gone without failing. Failure is like part of the journey to success.
Yeah,
because
I feel like everyone knows the slogan, but they don't
but
want
they do,
to
but that's
experience,
why we're going to deep dive into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't want to experience the grinding feeling of rejection and failure.
Right. Well, so here's what happens. You get rejected or you fail, and then you go shrivel into a ball and you hide, right?
Yeah.
And then you go like, make it go away, and you deny it, and you just make it go away, and then you live your normal life and you pretend it never happened, right? But that's the how you stay stuck in the same place. If instead you were like, oh, cool, I failed. What did I learn? You know, that's the part.
It's so hard.
And it's really hard because we're emotional creatures. We have egos, you know, mm-hmm. Our ego gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, no, this hurts. I don't want to do it. I suck and all this stuff. And then you don't want to feel like you suck. So you just avoid it.
Yes.
But if I had known sooner, or if I had learned sooner to take whatever I just failed at and like look for the things that you can learn from and like not fail at next time, I think I would have grown a lot faster. And I think I wouldn't have been stuck in like misery for so long.
Yeah.
You know, because I was miserable because I was fighting the reality, right? I was like fighting, like, this isn't where I should be, and like I should be acting in movies or whatever, you know, whatever it is that I got rejected on. Like, how come I'm not booking? I have all this training. I should be in a movie, but that's not the reality of what was happening. Like, I'm not in a movie because I'm not booking because of, well, let's see what happened in those auditions, you know, what could have I have done better? And that's just like one example. But so there's a couple things along this subject, and I've been reading a couple books lately, which weirdly, I mean, I guess it's not coincidentally, they're in the same vein of genre, the same genre of book.
And but, I haven't been reading a couple books lately.
Yeah, but you've probably been failing a lot lately, so.
Oh, that's for sure.
It works.
Yeah. I've been learning the hard way, the old hard rock school of hard knocks way.
I love Hard Rock.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a great restaurant as well.
Hell yeah. Good music genre too.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the books I'm reading is Failing Forward by John C. Maxwell, and then the other one is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. And both of them just touch on these subjects in the same kind of way. Mark Manson has a more modern, like, more fun approach to it, because it's like, here's how to not give a fuck, and here's what to give a fuck about, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Good book. You should read it.
What has he done with his life, though, where he's not given a fuck other than write a book called How Not to Give a Fuck?
You should read it.
I will.
And by the way, the book is not about not giving a fuck about anything. It's about placing your fucks in the right place.
Oh, I believe in that.
Yeah, and you believe in that. I'm a big believer in that. It's like it's giving a fuck about very few things instead of giving so many fucks about everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I love
that's
that.
How I feel about people.
Yeah, yeah. You've really taught me that.
Yeah.
He reminds me of you, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Reading the book. Like, I think you guys would be good friends. Hey, Mark Manson, if you're listening, we should hang out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I think you'd be friends with my husband.
I'm a pretty cool guy. I dress like I bowl.
He's pretty cool.
And I bowl like I dress.
Sure.
Yeah, not well. Holy shit.
Great. No. Are you starting the roast of Steve Green already?
Yeah, I'm getting going
getting
early.
Getting your hours in?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so number one that I've gathered from life and from books that just succinctly, like, just narrowed it down for me. Separating failing from being a failure. So not like making that part of you.
Not
like
part of your identity. You don't wrap yourself in the flag of I'm a failure.
Yeah, just because you've failed a couple of times doesn't mean that you are a failure.
But how do they do that? Because it's like,
yeah,
I don't know how to do that sometimes. It's like, sometimes you just feel like you're a failure at something.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's so natural. And that's why I want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because these are things that like you intuitively do that. Like you intuitively are like, I failed, so I'm a failure.
Right.
So this is about training your brain to not look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
which is really hard for me and, oh, yeah. well, and you.
Yeah, it's an insight on Nikki. I mean, she comes back from a bad audition, like she feels exactly like this.
Oh yeah, I just want to die.
Yeah.
Like I just can't stop crying and I want to die.
Yeah.
But that's why I need reminders like this, because it's like, oh yeah, I'm not a failure just because I failed at this one thing this time.
Right.
You know?
The best shit, though, is when you come back from an audition and you're like, this is the worst audition I've ever done. And you're like crying and you're like inconsolable.
Yeah.
And then you get a callback.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
happens.
That's the best shit.
Those
ever.
Are the ones I get callbacks on. I don't know anything about anything.
I'll tell you why.
I know nothing.
So fun fact about Nikki is that she has no self-awareness of how well she did at something.
Right.
So she often, almost always, thinks she did really, really bad, completely failure.
Well, because whenever I'm like, I fucking killed it, then people like the criticisms are like, nah, you didn't do a good job, right? Yeah. It's always like my worst job I've ever done.
So when you feel like you killed it, is when you get the feedback that you did not kill it.
Yeah, it's like in school, I used to procrastinate till the very last day to like write the paper that we had 2 weeks to write, right? So I would like start writing it the night before at 10 p.m. and it's due the next morning at 8 a.m. and I'd be up till like 3 a.m. writing this paper. And I'm like, oh, this is gonna suck. And I would get an A+ on that paper. Mm-hmm. But the ones where like they give you 2 weeks and I started 2 weeks early and I'm like, wow, I'm really taking my time with this. I'm doing like a good job. I'm really thorough and I like probably overthink it or whatever. I always think I did a killer job and I got like a B-.
Right.
Like, why?
I love that you're pissed about B-. I'd be like, I got a fucking B-.
Oh yeah.
The world can suck my dick today.
Well, that's probably contributes to why I feel like a failure is because I was judged by like such high standards. Like in my family, if I brought back less than an A, they're like, what is wrong? What happened? Yeah. Are you doing drugs? Are
Dude,
you troubled?
If my older sister did that, they would literally have gotten a drug test.
See, I was Jen.
Because she was that studious, if you will.
No, I graduated with a 4.268.
Whereas with me, if my parents got a call from the, you know, the nurse, and it's like, we caught Steven eating clay, they'd be like, we know. You know what I mean? Like, shit
he
like
likes
that.
Likes to do that.
Right.
Sometimes.
They just didn't expect much.
I get it. Expectations versus...
Versus reality.
Versus, yeah, exactly.
By the way, now though, who's my parents' favorite? Still my sister. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Totally. Oh, what does that feel like, I wonder, to be the favorite? I don't know.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. But I think...
Dude, I texted my parents last night that I won my fantasy football game, and they didn't even tell me that they're proud of me.
Wow.
Can you believe that shit?
I can't.
Yeah.
Are you... Hey, who's winning the league?
Not me, but I'm second place.
Okay, well, you don't get prizes for second place.
Well, I know, but my parents don't even know what place I'm in. I just wanted to tell them that I won so I could get a little bit of praise, but they didn't even say congrats or nothing, or that they're proud of me.
You know what? Good.
Damn.
Good.
This is why I want to have kids, so that I can teach them to give me praise.
Yeah.
Silly things.
Well, then that praise starts not meaning anything.
No, to me, it means everything. Because I only allow people to affect me who are in my bubble,
yeah.
Like my circle bubble.
So you would let the kids in the bubble?
Oh, yeah, sure. They're my kids. They're in the bubble. And then if they give me praise, then it's really tight because they're in my bubble.
But your kids are not going to think you're cool. Well, they might think you're cool until they are old enough to realize what cool is. And then they're like, dad's a nerd.
What if I only show them bowling movies and stuff? And then they're like, whoa, dad dresses fucking cool.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
So you're going to dress like this forever?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I found my style.
Okay, cool. Good.
You know what sucks about that is that my brother just laughed at that. That makes me feel really bad. No, because he's laughing at the way I'm dressed. Shame on you.
You're the one that's making him
laugh
at that.
Shame on you, sir.
You're the one roasting yourself.
No, that's sad.
Okay. Number two is comparing yourself to others. You know?
Sure.
I mean,
you got this problem big time.
I do. I mean, a lot of people do.
No,
I think social media like really makes us have to be so conscious about not comparing ourselves to others. It's like almost impossible to stop comparing myself to others.
Oddly enough, I only compare myself to my enemies. I mean this.
Go on, elaborate.
Yeah, so I only compare myself to my enemies, and usually I'm crushing them. Like in almost every avenue that I can measure, I'm crushing
them. You need to pick more challenging enemies then.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because lately my enemies have not been very strong.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, dude.
No, that's no good.
Right?
You need to like have some sort of motivating factor. Oh, that's probably why you're just on your computer all day looking at Reddit.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
because
I conquered my enemies. I can play my cowboy game all day. You
but
know
you can't. Can I be your enemy? Because I like hate that.
Well, you hate what?
I hate that you just sit around doing Reddit and playing your cowboy game.
Well, if only I was doing that all day. I don't just do that all day.
Well, what do you do?
I work on my movie stuff.
Okay.
And I write with the boys all week.
Okay, so then you need better enemies.
Yeah, I do need better enemies.
Yeah, okay. So feeling like a failure is one of the biggest things I've struggled with. Even like a year ago when I see like friends from high school or whatever from my old town, they're like, hey, you're killing it right now. I'd be like, what? Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Like, do you have eyeballs even?
Yeah.
And I was recently introduced to the idea. I constantly felt like I was failing, was recently introduced to the idea that I was failing. I feel this way because of the metrics that I'm using. That's what Mark Manson calls it in his book. The metrics that I was using is like, well, I wanted to be acting full time, but I wasn't booking, so I'm failing.
Yeah.
I wanted my YouTube channel to be bigger, but it wasn't growing, so I'm failing. You know, I wanted to buy a house, but we were stuck in our shitty apartment forever and ever, and it seemed like I was gonna die there. So I felt like I was failing, like all the way around. But those, because the metrics that I was using was like, our friends are, we're friends with people that are killing it on YouTube.
Yes.
You get, you know,
we're friends with some 1%ers out there.
Yeah. Who like have buttloads of money, who are like just driving Audis for fun, you know, or whatever. And I don't even care about cars, but just the fact that they could if they wanted to, you know, is like, damn, I'm really fucking up. And a lot of them
buying Teslas for props, bro. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Not a joke, by the way.
No, not even a joke.
I'm like, good for
you. And most of them are younger than me. Like, most of them are, like, younger by a few years than me. So I'm like, man, like, I've been doing this too long to be here. I felt just, like, really stuck and stuff. And that was just because... Yeah, the metrics that I was using were, like, by their numbers instead of by, like, my own numbers, you know,
Certainly.
Or my own amount of progress. Whereas if I went back 6 years ago and told myself, like, hey, in 6 years from now, like, you'll be working full-time doing something you love, like, you'll be in the entertainment industry, you'll be making videos for a living, you'll be married to a guy that is awesome, sometimes, like... thinks he's way too awesome.
What?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
They actually think that, though. You
I know. No, I'm just kidding. No, he is not.
People
like
think
that.
I'm a cocky motherfucker and all this shit.
No, he's not.
My
like
own
that.
Dad thinks his shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, how can I be so close to somebody who doesn't know me?
Sorry, you're ruining my
No, go back to
point.
The refrain, please.
Okay, sorry,
get back
I'm
to
sorry,
the your
I shouldn't
speech.
Have made
Jesus
a little
Christ.
I shouldn't have made a little joke.
Yeah.
I should have, I'm sorry, can we retract this joke I made? It
no,
was a
go back to
it
your
was
speech.
A little joke and I was stupid.
I'll stand over here. Go ahead.
Okay, so you know, I tell my six years ago self, like, you're married to the guy that loves you and who has a big dick and you love having sex with. How
that's
about that?
That's true. I like
is that. Better?
That's
okay.
Better.
That's great. And you have like some cats and you live in like the sunny part of Southern California. Like, you know, like you, there's a lot that we had going on that I just didn't like. I didn't see it as success. I saw it as failure because of what I was measuring myself against, you know? And what? Why are you zoning out now? Mm-hmm. Just because of that one little joke I made?
No,
get over
I'm
get
here.
Over yourself.
I'm here. I'm thinking about how my dad doesn't love me. That's all.
Well, hope
that's
all, okay. We all have that, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're not special.
Well, your dad loves you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That must be real cool.
But I think my brother's still the favorite. Yeah. Go ahead. Your dad doesn't love you. What?
No, yeah. Just
mind about
to,
it. Go ahead.
Just wanted to talk about it. I wish he loved me. I think it's because when I was a real little kid,
yeah,
I would challenge him a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I think that upset him.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I did that with my dad.
Because I wouldn't say that my dad was like a quote unquote alpha male.
Uh huh.
But I think that I was very much an extrovert.
Uh huh.
And so I would challenge him, his manhood in a way, in an indirect way that I didn't really realize I was doing, and
yeah.
I think I still do that to this day. Just by being me.
Wow, this got into
and I think it offends him. I do.
Deep,
I think it offends
a
him.
Deep therapy session.
And I think it emasculates him. I do.
Okay.
And I hate my father. I'm kidding.
Oh my God. Wow, this took a dramatic
turn. I'm
kidding. That escalated
so
quickly.
I'm doing bits. Okay.
Okay. But some of that was really true.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You figure out. You suss
mine,
it out.
Mine was that I wasn't able to speak my mind if it was opposed his opinions.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, I would just get so mad because, like, I'm an outspoken person. We're both very stubborn. And he was just like, respect your elders. Don't talk back. You can't, like, argue.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And if I just don't understand something, because sometimes I just don't understand another person's point of view and I want to, and I'm, like, challenging that because I just want to understand, like, he wouldn't take the time to, like, explain his position. It would just be like, I'm right, you're wrong. Bye.
Right.
Shut up, you know?
Yeah, I would say that one of the reasons why I don't have this relationship with failure that you have is because I think my parents were a lot more supportive growing up.
Yeah.
Like, they were supportive, but they weren't like...
My parents were supportive.
Yeah.
But
they were like, you can do it, but they were never like, you're killing it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, mine was more like I felt... like a lot of praise when I did something right,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when I got straight A's, I would get praise, or when I did a performance, I would get applause or roses or whatever, you know, like I did ballet and I did like dance stuff,
mm-hmm.
and so it felt like I needed to do things in order to be seen as worthy.
Sure.
In their eyes, right?
Sure.
So anytime I'm not doing things, like even now today in my adult life, when I'm not doing enough things or I don't think that I'm accomplishing or performing well or doing something that would garner praise, I don't feel worthy.
Yeah, sure.
So I feel like I'm a failure.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm failing.
I know that.
And I equate that to failing. But it took me a lot of therapy to understand.
Yeah, it did.
You know?
And it's so funny how that works because I used to try to tell you these things, but until you were in therapy, it really wouldn't register with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, it, you know, you say things and then it maybe, it's like reading things five times, you know,
yeah.
like I'll read something the first time I just don't even process it.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time it's like, oh, that's interesting. And then the third time it's like, wow, this is making a lot of sense. And then finally it sinks in,
yeah.
you know, around the fourth or fifth time you hear something.
Right.
Which is why you can continue to read the same genre of like self-help books and you've heard the thing before, but it just didn't click at the first time you read
yeah.
it. You know, or the way that person, the first author wrote it, didn't resonate as much as the second author or whatever it is. So, my therapist talking about how like I mean, if we want to get real emotional, it's like as a baby or as a child, you equate that to being worth loving. So anytime I'm, even though that's not true, my parents love me no matter what. the way that I equated it as a child was that they only love me if I'm doing these things.
Yes.
You know? And so that...
Whereas you just existing is not worth love.
Right.
You
accomplishing is the love. Even though it's not true at all.
Right. Yeah.
That's just the way that my child self took it. And so that got carried into adulthood.
Yes.
And that took a... Until it was worded that way to me, I didn't really understand it.
I see.
And so that has a lot to, that has a lot to do with my fear of failure, is that if I am failing at something, it means that I'm not worth loving.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were probably the first relationship that I've been in that I felt loved no matter what.
Yeah.
And so that was.
Well, I think an award for that or something.
Maybe.
I think that's
big deal. I give you blowjobs, so I feel like that's kind of
a standard thing.
All right, I'll take them away. That's fine.
No, don't take them away.
Okay.
No, I feel like...
You want a trophy? I'll make you a trophy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I already have trophies. You don't have any trophies, so maybe make yourself one.
You don't
one.
Have plural trophies. You have one trophy.
Maybe make yourself a trophy.
By the way, when Steve's sister won a trophy and he didn't in karate, he cried.
So I'll beat you to it,
baby.
He's
a little bitch.
I cried like a bitch.
He's a little bitch.
I sure did.
You didn't beat me to it.
No, I did. I said I cried. No, because, I don't know, man. I think that for me, I think so much of my identity was my YouTube channel and, mm-hmm. like, what I did on YouTube and, like, my bits and, like, all my comedy vids and all that stuff. And losing that through... YouTube's very sensible demonetization policy has been brutal on me,
right?
Personally,
yeah.
Just getting into like my daily life, like that is probably the number one thing that has affected me in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I got into cryptocurrency and why I got on Reddit and stuff, is because I just withdrew. And so now I feel like, having failed at YouTube, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, that's totally valid. And that's actually like one of the other bullet points that I was going to get to, was fault versus responsibility.
Well, back to the bullet points then.
Well, it's not a bullet point, but you brought it up in a really natural way. It's like, okay, so it's not your fault that YouTube demonetized your channel. It's not your fault. You were there, you were a creator, you were doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're uploading your videos, and then YouTube demonetized all your videos out of nowhere. That's not your fault. But it is your responsibility. And and a lot of people don't want to take responsibility for things that happen to them, because they think that by taking responsibility that they're accepting fault or blame for it. Because those two go hand in hand a lot. You know, like if you get in a car accident and you hit somebody, you're at fault for that, and you also are responsible for whatever happens legally and with your insurance. So a lot of people...
Yeah, but I didn't see that guy.
Sure, but it's still your fault.
Oh, sure.
So fault in that case...
I didn't know about that law.
Fault and responsibility go hand in hand. In this case, it's not your fault that this thing happened, but it's always your responsibility, the things that happen to you. You don't get to choose what happens to you.
Sure.
No one gets to choose what happens to them. But everyone gets to choose to accept responsibility or not, and that's
I just don't know. I just don't know what good it does me. I guess to say, like,
okay,
I take responsibility for my channel getting wholesale demonetized as a motherfucker. I'm not like demonetized where I can upload a video right now and it'll get monetized, but all my old stuff gets zero, and it still pulls in views, but it gets zero.
What it does is, by taking responsibility, it lets you own your choices of what you do next. So right now, it's your choice to withdraw.
Yes.
And be kind of mopey about it, which is, it's fine.
Am I mopey? Do I sound mopey?
Right now.
Okay.
The way you're talking about
it,
you're like, oh, I withdrew and I'm sad about it.
Sure.
Right?
I'm self-aware, I think.
But so that is a choice that you're making. And a lot of, I know it's hard because you don't want to feel like you made that choice.
Yeah.
But if you look at it that way, where you're like, hey, I can take responsibility, even though this wasn't my fault that this happened to me, but I can take responsibility.
It wasn't my fault.
I know it wasn't. But now you can take responsibility and choose a different thing.
Yeah.
Because now you can own, like, this shit thing happened to me. Okay, I get to choose what to do next. I get to choose to create content because now I want to create content, or I get to choose to do this other thing I'm passionate about, or this other thing that makes me money that is performing, you know, whatever it is. You now have ownership, which
But I had ownership. Now I
You had ownership about this other thing that got taken away from you.
Right.
And now you have ownership about what you do next about
right.
it.
Right.
And so that's something that I think a lot of people get stuck into this. They don't want to take the responsibility because the thing wasn't their fault.
You can just say, I don't want to take... Go ahead.
No, I'm talking about everybody.
Okay, but you can say it about me.
I wanted to talk about social media because social media kind of supports people not taking responsibility, because what's easy to do is to be like, it's YouTube's fault, or you know, it's this politician's fault that's in office and that's why my life is shitty, or you know, my freaking boyfriend broke up with me and that's why I'm not happy, or you know, like nobody will date me and that's why I'm not happy and all this stuff. And
when Obama was in office, I was not demonetized.
Well, so you should blame. So you could go post right now and be like, my life was better when Obama was in office.
That's what
and
I'm
you
saying.
Will get a thread of people that are like, you're damn right. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Like,
get them.
Like, oh, this sucks and we can't do anything about it. You'll get a ton of people supporting you in your misery and kind of validating.
Thank you, every one of you. Thank you.
And kind of validating that, yeah, it's not your fault. And therefore, it's like you can't be happy because you're not even in control of your own happiness because it's this other person's fault. You know, and so we get stuck into this cycle of like feeling validated in the like not taking responsibility part.
And that's where I'm at now, you think?
Yeah, I think that for this one subject.
Yeah.
For YouTube. Yeah, I do.
Well, I just feel like if I like, for example, like for me to do a video right now, I just don't know what's going to happen to it. Like, is it going to be. It's going to be more expensive that I did that video than, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Will I go into a debt hole because I'm making a video?
So right now, your value that you're what you're placing value on is money.
Yes.
Instead of maybe placing value on happiness or like on performing or something that you're actually in control of.
Right.
You know? And so.
Well, because it doesn't make economic sense to make something that is going to cost money and not make money, right? Like, that's just the reality that I was in doing YouTube for so long, where it's like, this needs to do this.
But did you start YouTube with the and with it just
no,
being about
not,
money?
No, but I didn't start. I didn't, you know, I got to where I got by just keep trying shit, right? And
yeah.
Failing at shit,
yeah.
Like constantly.
Yeah, so
like,
keep definitely. Doing that.
Right, but then I'm like, but yeah.
Yeah, so you have.
Yeah, but I want to make an excuse right now.
You have, I know exactly, and your brain's really good at that. All of our brains are really, really good at that, and it's actually an effort to have to like own it and take responsibility and then consciously change that pattern of thought, and so like, okay, so for example, in 2012, I was unemployed, I got laid off from my. Restaurant job. I was also trying really hard to be an actress and do the traditional route and audition and all that stuff. But I got dropped by my manager and he sued me. And I had no money to begin with, but he sued me for something that it was hard to hire a lawyer to defend myself, even though I felt I wasn't in the wrong. So there was that. Then also my boyfriend dumped me and was cheating on me. And I got in a car accident on my way to a job interview. And it just all around blowed. Like, my life fucking sucked. Like, I just was like, I can't win, you know? Like, it felt like every time I tried to, like, win, I was just, like, slammed down. And it's like, none of those things were really my fault. I got laid off because a new company took over the company I was working at, and they just wanted to hire all new people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I couldn't control my boyfriend cheating on me. My manager... sued every client that he's ever represented or whatever. And I was just really depressed. Like I had no money in my bank account. I had like negative money in my bank account. I thought I was going to have to move back in with my parents and stuff. I kept being like really angry and being like, fuck everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, man, either I live like this forever and I just like hate everyone forever for the things that happen to me, or I make a different choice and just try other things. So I started working out more, you know, like I started seeing a therapist. I started doing more stand-up, like more things that were creatively fulfilling. So yeah, so it was hard to like accept that I have, like it was hard to take ownership for my own happiness. I wanted to just continue to blame everyone else for why I was so unhappy. and the circumstances and everything. And yeah, it was really shitty, and it wasn't my fault that those circumstances were happening, but it was my responsibility for what to do next. And I'm really happy that I ended up doing these other things, even though they weren't really economically sound for me, like, you know, driving across town to go to do a stand-up show that doesn't pay me any money or anything. But what it gave me was like more confidence, and it gave me something that made me happy that you couldn't buy, you know? And then I learned how to make my own self happy on my own. And now the next person that I got in a relationship with, which was you, it was like I was already happy on my own, and you just enhanced it instead of relying on you to give me happiness, you know?
Yeah.
And those things I don't think I would have learned if everything went my way, you know? If I hadn't failed or hadn't gotten rejected or hadn't experienced all that, I don't think I would have found another way to do life, to right. like find my own way of making my own self happy, to take responsibility for that, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's hard to just bite that, swallow that pill and like be like, all right, even though it fucking sucks and I feel like this isn't my fault, I'll like make the choice to own it and try to move in a different direction.
Right.
You know? So we have to take a break right now. Is there anything you want to say before the break?
This is going to be the best break we ever done. You'll see.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, and we're back from break.
Hi, welcome back.
Hi. Are you okay?
I was right about that break.
Was it great?
This was really good.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah, for sure.
So you got caught up in a vulnerable moment.
Yeah.
So
I feel very weird right now because of talking about this. I feel very odd. So well, I feel very uncomfortable.
Maybe you feel uncomfortable because it's relatable.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know what to do next. It's a weird thing.
With YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With what I've built, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like what I built, it's like I'm building this thing and it got taken from me and somebody else took it. And then I'm like, what do I do now? I was building that for so long.
Yeah.
Because my plan was always to, I always put half of my money, like, no matter what, all of the money went back into the channel. Like, I made nothing off of the fucking thing forever. But the idea was to build a library so that one day I could just keep making these videos using the library money to keep making new videos.
Yeah.
But then that got like usurped completely, which is fine. That's the way it goes, right? But then I'm like, damn, I was working so hard on this for so long building this thing. And now I'm like, what do I do with it? Like, I have 1.1 million subscribers. I don't know what the fuck to do with it.
Right.
I don't even know what to do. I'm like, you know, it's like people always say to me, well, why don't you just do Tough Talks again? And I'm fine with that. I could do that. I could see that doing fine and everything. Like, for me personally, like, I can see myself enjoying doing that. But the motivation's gone because of all, I almost am haunted by the memory of doing that work and then having it taken from me that I'm scared of doing it again.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But maybe if you saw it more as like, it wasn't all for naught, because it's like your YouTube channel was a way to introduce yourself and your performing style to the world. Your sense of humor. People can at any time look up any of your videos. They didn't get taken down. You just don't make money off them, which sucks. But
sure.
But like, you know, it.
And I'm glad that people can see that and stuff. They, yeah.
People have hired you from that work. And right now you're working with Just Kidding Films, and you're writing movies. You're working with a couple of different people writing movies.
Yeah.
And all of that came from the trust from you doing your YouTube channel and then writing movies and writing other things and writing things for other people for little to no money.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, that gets built up over time.
For sure.
And who knows what your next
thing
will
be? I feel
be?
Very secure about. That's not a problem. Like, my writing career, I feel fine about. Like, I think good things are happening, and like, I think I got enough going on there. But it's about, I was never like, if you asked me what I wanted to be when I was a kid, it wasn't writer. I never said that out loud one time.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew that, I would have cared more in English class. Like, ask my friend Jana, who does proofing on a lot of our scripts. It's like, grammatically, fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned a lot from, you know, through being a writer, and I just never thought I was going to be one. So it's one of those things where I've always been a performer. I put so many years into performing. And then now here I am. I'm like a performer without a show.
Right.
Is how I feel.
Totally.
And in a lot of ways, JK has made me feel more like a performer again.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously doing stuff with you. So, and the feedback for that stuff has been phenomenal. So it's really made me feel like I could do it again. But I just don't even know how to start. So it's tough. So talking about failure, it's like, well, here I am. Someone who was successful, who then failed, who now wants to, I just want to do stuff again. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's just such a, but so I can identify with everybody who's listening to this, who's like, I just don't know how to start, because I just feel like I got so burned that I just, like, the idea of starting again is such a painful thing, possibly, that I'm just like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been tough. And mostly I can justify, you know, I would never just not be able to pay for whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I'd rather literally kill myself. Like, obviously. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I obviously always make sure that my bases are covered.
Yeah.
Like, and I always have a backup plan for whatever's going on so that I could make money or whatever on the side. But right now, in particular, I'm just very confused about what exactly to do.
Yeah, I felt this exact same way a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to like say that, oh, I'm the same as you and look what I did or anything like
that.
No,
I remember
this. But I felt very much like that. Like, I was just in a lost state, and I would like pray. I'd be like, please just show me like what to do and I'll work my ass off doing it. I just need to know what to do, right? And this year I really just embraced a couple things that I think might help you, and I don't know. One is that one of the things I just read a chapter about in the book I'm reading was about how happiness doesn't come from being problem-free. It comes from solving our problems. Mm-hmm. So you just need better problems to solve. And this is just a better problem to solve than you had 10 years ago when you were trying to solve a problem of what to do with your life.
I don't quite know what you mean.
Okay, so instead of like, people think that if they didn't have problems, like if I just knew what I was going to do, you know, or if I just, you know,
If
I just had money, I wouldn't have problems. But everybody has money problems. Like Warren Buffett has money problems, and the guy that's homeless on the street has money problems. But Warren Buffett has better money problems. So you're just upgrading your problems. And
Warren Buffett's money fucks itself and makes more money. I mean, yeah. I don't know about money problems, dude. I don't know if I'd use that word.
I'm saying you upgrade your problems. You're always going to have problems in life, and we actually get joy out of solving our problems. So even though this sucks, when you're going through the process of solving your problem, it creates happiness, which fuels whatever the next thing you're going to do, and I'm really excited for it. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that this year, I felt the exact same as you last year, and I still do from time to time. I still feel like, am I doing the right thing? Am I like, is this going anywhere? Is this the right move to make? You know, I still constantly struggle with that, but I feel more in the right direction than I ever have, because the beginning of the year I was just like, man, fuck it. It feels like nothing is going my way. Like, I wanted to buy a house, and we were almost bought a house at the end of last year, and then it's like it got taken away, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt like we were gonna die in our apartment, and then I felt like my acting career wasn't moving, and my YouTube career wasn't moving, or whatever, and I felt like I'd been in the same position for years. And I just decided to celebrate where I was at. I just decided to like really actually fall in love with where I was at this moment, instead of denying this moment because I feel like I should be somewhere else. Because I think that was one of my biggest problems, is I was like, well, I've been doing this for 10 years. I should be farther along. Mm-hmm. And this year I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like really embrace what's happening right now. So I was like, this shitty apartment, I love it. I love that we're here in Los Angeles still. I started redecorating it. You know, like we bought a new TV console and stuff or whatever, you know? And then I was like, what else do I love? What else do I want to do and explore that I love? Like, what will make me love what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis? And I wanted to do a podcast because I wanted to open up more about like real things that I was going through and not worry about whether or not I was entertaining. You know, I wanted to do something that just felt like I could just talk and connect to other people. And I almost did it as like a YouTube format, like a video format, but I wanted like a longer format. And so I really, really was like, let's just do a podcast. And it just happened to be good timing that Studio 71 was looking for podcasts and whatever. Otherwise, we were just going to do it on our own, right? We were like kind of setting that up already. And then I was like, what else do I like? I like writing and performing. So I started writing sketches. And I thought maybe that would be the thing I did on YouTube again. I don't know. Yeah. But I just wanted to do something that felt happy. And I just judged it less on like the numbers it was getting or the money it was getting or whatever it was. And I judged it solely on whether it made me happy to do it. And so when I was writing the sketches, it made me really happy. And then we got to perform the sketches and it made me really happy. And then we edited it. And those sketches didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, like nothing happened from those sketches, but it sent me in the right direction of gauging things based on what makes me happy rather than the old metric I was using, which is like money, success, numbers, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like I'm holding myself back because of those things. It's just one of those things where, like, literally I hit up my old producer today.
Yeah.
Like fucking 3 hours ago. And I was like, how much would it cost for me to do this White Elephant Kids video that I used to do mm-hmm. on my channel, which it brings me joy. All the things you said, all the slogans you said.
Right.
Brings me happiness, gives me personal fulfillment, all the things. But it's going to cost like $2,500, like bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Like at the bottom, rock bottom most, it costs $2,500. That's the kind of scale I used to do shit at.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, fuck. I mean, that I would need to get 2.5 million views or whatever, two something million or whatever. And that's even, you know, hoping that I don't get demonetized for whatever the fuck reason. So it's just a dice throw instead of, I mean, it's like for funsies, it's like, yeah, this is fun and all this shit, yeah. But it costs money to get people and to pay for things. And
totally.
It's less like I can fire up a camera and cook something and then edit it and like what, you know what I mean? Like what I used to do is what I'm a slave to.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'm trying to get away from my own success, like my own thing that I built that I'm known for.
Yeah.
I now have to try to reinvent that. So that's where I'm at right now.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've been there too.
Yeah.
So I, like my whole time in LA, like was for acting. Like I went to conservatory programs. I studied acting for like every single day. I was obsessed with it. That's all I wanted to do. When I first started on YouTube, it was sketch comedy. It was like, it was acting. It was not looking at a camera and talking, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I first started my own YouTube channel, it was acting. It was sketch comedy and it was writing and acting. And I could never bring myself to vlog. Like it was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it was so not my element. And I was like, this is not my thing. And so I wouldn't do it. But because the sketch comedy took so much money to like create sketches and to hire a camera guy, even the most low budget thing that I could do, like just one camera guy and me editing.
Oh my God, you're telling me to vlog.
I'm not telling you to
vlog. You're telling me to vlog.
I'm telling you to do things outside your comfort zone.
You look at me while you tell me to vlog.
You should vlog.
All right.
How many people out there would watch Steve vlog? Leave a comment. Rate us 5 stars.
Is that what you're getting at? You think I should vlog, huh?
I'm not getting at that, but if that's what you want to try doing, you should do that. In fact, the person that got me to vlog was Steve Green himself. He's the one that suggested I vlog, and
he's the old me. My enemy.
I hardcore passed on it. I was very like, reject, reject, reject. I hate this. And then I decided to try it when I got this brand deal that wanted me to vlog. And I was like, ugh, I don't want to, but maybe I'll do it on this other channel. So I had this other channel that's youtube.com/Nikki, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, good
URL.
Plug. Yeah, to a completely dead channel.
Yeah, well, this is a cool URL. But yeah, so I started vlogging on there. I was like, let me just try it for 30 days. And I ended up, strangely, I was connecting to an audience in a way that I never had before with acting, because it didn't allow me to. With acting, you're playing a character, no one's seeing the real you. And I didn't want people to see the real me, because, you know, that's for my own insecurities, are that if people get to know the real me, they wouldn't like me. Mm-hmm. And so I never wanted to show like that part.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But since it was on a separate channel, I felt more comfortable opening up, because it was like, well, I don't have to be an entertainer here, because this isn't my entertainment channel. I can just like talk about what's going on. And I just started opening up a lot more. And I started connecting to people in a way that I never had before. And I could still be funny. Because I'm just like, I'm just being me. I'm not making like constructed jokes, but I'm just like, you know, like this is how I am in real life, you know? And it was just eye-opening. And when I merged those two channels, which is kind of like what my channel became now, I brought the vlog channel over to my channel. That's how it got started into like the whole vlogging and low budget thing. Was it all spawned from not being able to afford to do produced videos. And now that the main thing I do is like vlogging and like talking to a camera.
Like, it's like Steven Spielberg.
I never would have in a million years thought I would be doing that.
Steven Spielberg with the shark. Where the shark doesn't work, so he got to film around the shark. Don't show the shark.
They use that analogy in Failing Forward, one of the books that I'm reading.
It's always one of the most used analogies.
I mean, it should be.
I didn't
be.
Even blink when you said it.
It should be.
Yeah.
Because, maybe people at home don't know that story. I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, that he had a mechanical shark for Jaws that he was going to film a lot of.
And it didn't work half the time.
Yeah, so it was breaking down constantly. So then he had to show less of the shark, which made the movie scarier because they never saw the shark.
Yeah.
Which is pretty tight.
Yeah.
So Nikki's basically telling me to do shark videos, I guess. Which I think I'm going to do.
Go Go to shark fitness.
Go check out my new one about Mako's. It's really cool. They're the fastest shark in the ocean.
It forces your mind to come up with a solution that is viable. It forces you to come up with a solution is what it does.
Yeah.
When you're put in a place where like you're like, well, this is what I want to do and I don't have the money to do it or the resources to do it. And it doesn't make economical sense.
Well, yeah, but
to do
then
it.
What if you got a bunch of, your audience,
yeah,
if you will, whoever they are now, they're like, fuck you, make your trolling vids. I fucking hate you, make your trolling vids.
You know, maybe if I would have started, right away on my sketch comedy channel doing vlogs, the reaction might have been similar, but I think because it was a separate channel, it felt like a fresh start.
So you're saying do a new channel?
I don't know. Maybe if that works for you, because
walk away from 1.1 million subscribers.
Well, I wouldn't say
monolithic.
I wouldn't
amount.
Say walking away, because at that point I had maybe 200,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel, which isn't like huge, but it wasn't like nothing either. And I just started doing it on the side. It was like on the side.
Yeah.
And it was just like, because it was on the side, there was no pressure. It was more fun for me. I found that fun again. You know how like,
oh yeah,
sometimes you get that pressure because you want a video to do well because you have this standard that you've set. And I think that that's kind of the trap that you put yourself in. Having a new thing that's like,
wait, what trap did I put myself in?
That you have the standard that you set.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
have this
I
like,
want things to be a
template.
Certain thing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So because it's something completely separate, there was no pressure like that I had on my, I had this pressure on my sketch channel because the sketches were getting so well received, mm-hmm. right? I had this series called Audition Fail that a lot of bigger YouTubers guest starred in. I wrote, it was really funny. Like I wrote like funny parts for them. They got to shine. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I wished that I could continue doing a series like that was produced, but I didn't have the resources. So then I did self-help, which was like lower budget and it was at my apartment. But even that, like having a camera guy and, you know, doing all that.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of, it didn't get as many views because it was just me and it was just a whole thing, you know, like, but I had a high standard for the quality of content that I was uploading on that channel.
Yeah.
You know, I got very like about it.
Sure.
I have my pinky in the air. Like I only upload the highest quality content, yep. You know. I don't do vlogging on my channel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And so starting a separate channel where I was like, hey, fuck you if you think that this is gonna be good. It's not. I'm just gonna, this is just me fucking around and this is just extra content. It's just extra content.
Right.
It was like fun because there was no failing. It's like, this is just me fucking around.
Yeah,
this is
how can you call it failure?
Like
I'm not even trying.
Right,
yeah.
It's like a scratch pad. It's like if I'm an artist and I like paint like crazy masterpieces,
yeah.
And then I have this sketch pad that I'm just like sketching out ideas or, you know, kind of like writing it out. The vlog channel was like my sketch pad. There's no mistakes because it's just sketching, you know, like I'm just
maybe
doing
I'll
that.
Just start sketching things.
And then
I think
ideas
I get what you're
happen.
Saying now.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Is that like you might see that this is a failure right now, or like you failed at this thing?
It's not. I really
or
don't
like
see it like that. I just see it as like a
failing.
Discouraging thing where
totally.
It's like, oh man, all that fucking work, man. YouTube, thanks a lot, brah.
Yeah, failure is discouraging.
Like you sure didn't hate me while you were making love to me, YouTube, and the money I was making you.
Yeah.
But then when you know. You had your way with me and then you spit me out. Like that's basically how it feels.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. That's totally valid. But that's how people feel when failure happens or when they get rejected or like that. It's a huge part of it. It's very discouraging.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, good. And then, I mean, that's like leads me to the last thing that I was going to talk about, which is just like letting rejection stop you from doing things. Because a lot of people, they get discouraged by failure or rejection. And then they're like, well, I don't want to try that again. Because like, look how screwed I got.
Yeah, me. That's
time.
Me.
Right.
I got so screwed.
So I mean, I've been on like 1,000,000,000 auditions that I don't ever book. And it's
yeah,
really
you failing all the time at those auditions.
It's very discouraging. It's
oh my
very,
God,
very
you failing at those auditions.
But I love acting so much. So maybe I go a different route. Maybe like I'm building something that I can act in later. You know, I don't know. For a long time, I just sat in depression about like not booking. Like I'm just never going to be an actress, even though I love acting. It's just not in the cards for me, right? And maybe it's not in the cards for me, but I know that feeling, that love is still there. Like I really love acting. So if it's meant to be, maybe it'll happen some other way. But I'm not going to let all of these productions rejecting me stop me from just doing something that I love to do, you
yeah.
know? And my favorite actor, who's like totally an inspiration every time I feel like I just want to quit, you know?
Angela Lansbury.
No, but close.
Sybil Shepherd?
No.
Younger?
No.
No? Niall Younger? Older? How old is Judy Dench? Dame Judy?
Well, she's not alive anymore.
Judy Dench is alive?
No, my person.
Yeah. Dorothy.
No.
From Wizard of Oz.
Judy Garland?
Yeah, Judy Garland.
No, Lucille Ball.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Lucille Ball. She's like my favorite story of rejection turned fucking amazing success.
Yeah.
Because she, like, she wanted to act forever, you know, since she was the little girl.
What's so wrong with Angela Lansbury?
There's nothing wrong with
her. Oh, okay.
She's just not my person that I look to when I'm like feeling down.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so Lucille Ball, fucking hilarious woman, hot. She's always like hot and also funny, way before her time. And so, yeah, so she wanted to act since she was a kid.
Yeah.
At 15, she decided to go for performing arts school.
You know, she'll never make
dramatic
it.
Arts. Well, she didn't. She auditioned. They were like, no. And then she auditioned three times, and they were like, you will never be a successful
actress. You will never work
actress.
In this town.
No, really,
Lucille
they said that.
Ball. Yeah, that's a name people will remember.
They
and
told,
they're like,
that's what I love.
What I love about biopic movies.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to play Queen. Yeah, I'm sure somebody said that, dude. Fucking A. Everything got to be so black and white in these things.
Yeah.
Man.
No, that's what I love is that I love the revenge success.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So she was told like she's an untalented hack. And that she'll never make it. And so then she goes on. She does some, you know, great interesting jobs, stuff like that. And she also starts modeling because she's fucking hot. And so she starts booking some gigs modeling. And then she got like some little small movie parts because she's like got her modeling thing going on. And but she's like, that's not her passion.
Have you ever noticed how back then it was like, yeah, you just moved to California. You walk on set and you say, can I have a job? And they're like, sure thing.
Yeah.
And that guy's name is James Dean. You know what I mean? It's how the fuck?
Yeah. That is how they make
it's like
seem.
Harrison Ford was making tables and then he's in Star Wars. It's like,
I would love to have seen the way it worked because that is how they make it seem like
right?
It was back then.
Isn't that funny?
So Lucille Ball, she's like, you know, getting rejected acting-wise left and right. She dyes her hair red because like everyone has blonde hair and she's like, I want to be different. And they're like, whoa, you look way cooler with red hair, and so they start hiring her more. She ends up getting enough like movie roles, like a little bit of, you know, a little bit of something going on, a little bit of success, and she teams up with Desi on like on this
Desi Arnaz,
yeah, and she some projects, you know, she gets to work with him, and she's like, oh my god, I'm swoon. She's like so in love with him, right? And then
one of the funnier wife beaters in history.
He encourages Desi. Her to like, you know, go pursue her fucking dreams, and even though he was an alcoholic and terrible to her, like later in life,
awful.
But like, you know, he was very supportive of
her
dreams.
Sure.
Anyway, so she starts this. She does this radio show, which is basically like the radio version of I Love Lucy, called My Favorite Husband, but it's with this other guy, because like it can't be an interracial relationship,
of course.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And CBS is like, dude, we love this radio show. We want to do a show, like a TV show. And Lucy's like, okay, but I want it with my real husband, Desi Arnaz. And they're like, interracial? No, hell no. Nobody's gonna want to watch that.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we'll give you this deal, this television show. If you just do it with a different guy. And she's like, you know what? No. And so she does this. She takes their thing, I Love Lucy, and she does it on vaudeville. And then they get a bunch of success with that on vaudeville. And then CBS is like, hey, we want to do it actually. And they're like,
and maybe
okay.
Since it's black and white, nobody would be able to tell it's interracial. How about that? That's pretty kick ass. Like, why didn't we think of that before?
And they're like, well, we want to do it on film. And CBS was like, whoa, hold up there. You can't do it on film. It's so expensive. We have like this other thing called Kino something, whatever. It was like less expensive. And they're like, okay, we're willing to take a cut in pay in order to do it on film, but then we have more ownership of it. Like, so they started their production company.
Oh.
And and then so that they're like, okay, fine, you guys are losers. Why would you take a cut in pay? But whatever. And then they become like, that becomes like one of the biggest shows, and they explodes. And she owns like all of it. And then she ends up, when her and Desi get divorced, she buys his half of the company, and she becomes like the first head of production.
The first Oprah.
Yeah, the first head of production at any studio. Yep. And also, I think she became one of the first female multimillionaires in history. And she was told many times that she...
And what was her kid's name?
And she was like in her 40s by the time this all happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Remember their kid, little, what was his name, Chachi or something? I don't know.
Little Ricky.
Little Ricky.
What the hell? Little Chachi?
Well, but no, well, I don't know. But think about it. That kid, because of all this shit, that kid probably never had to lift a finger his whole life. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know his life. He probably has his own struggles, though.
I would love to know about him.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about, like, before when I was comparing myself to people, that those people that I was comparing myself to, I talked to them, and they think that they're failing. So no one ever ever wins. No one ever feels like they're succeeding, because they have different metrics that they're comparing themselves
That's
to.
That's correct.
And, yeah. So... there's that. Don't let rejection stop you.
I'll go be Lucille Ball now. I guess I got the message.
Yeah, I hope you feel very inspired. But my whole point in all this is...
I'm going to go do the Lucy show again.
Yeah, go do the Lucy show.
Thanks.
I mean, we're interracial. We could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's like, I'm the brown one, though, and you're like, you're the one.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
And hey, I failed Spanish 4 times. I know a little bit, a very little bit of Spanish that I could yell at you with.
Well, it's fine. We could just be in English.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just saying, it's out there. I got that as in my my weapons.
Good. Good. I hope we can use it.
I'm a double threat with that.
Well, I think the whole point to all of this episode is just embracing that failure is a part of success, and finding the solutions is ultimately what's going to make you the happiest.
Well,
and,
yeah, but the finding them part is the hard part.
Yeah, but that's the rewarding part.
That's like saying getting out of the jungle will feel good. And I'm like, yeah, but fuck, where?
But that's the rewarding part.
I know.
And then once you get out of the jungle.
I'm just looking at a lot of trees, and I've been here for a long time, and it's pretty dark in
here. Once you get out of the jungle, you're in a forest, and then you got to get out of the forest. But the forest has like nicer trees.
No, once you're out of the jungle, you're out of the jungle.
No, but you're not ever out of the jungle. That's the point.
No, you're out.
Is that once you just upgrade and you get a better set of problems.
I think you get on a bus and you go to Easy Street.
Okay. I love that. We'll keep, let me know. Send me a postcard when you get there.
Hey, I bought the bus ticket. I'm just waiting for the bus.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep waiting over here.
All right. What are your final thoughts while waiting for this bus?
You know, believe in yourself, kids.
Wow.
Yeah. No, honestly.
You turn into a fortune cookie.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the bit. No, but I don't know. Final thought. I don't really have one. I just feel like... I want to do something. I don't know what. I'm such a perfectionist. And that sounds ridiculous, but it's when it comes to my own stuff,
yeah.
I'm very touchy about what I do.
Lucille Ball was a perfectionist.
Doing other people's stuff, no problem. I'll do it all day long. But when it comes to my thing that I made, it's mine.
Yeah.
I got it.
You're
be
stamping
one,
your name on it.
I got one way to do it.
That's
exactly
how I
And that's
feel.
My way. And so I'm very... stupidly touchy about that. And I got to get over it. I got to get over it. That's my number one thing, yeah. I think, that I got to get over. Because I think that that's the biggest thing holding me back.
And the way you get over it is just by doing it. Just by doing
right.
it. Yeah.
Right.
Just by doing it and like failing maybe, or maybe not, you know? Like,
sure.
But if you fail, you just learn from that and then you try it again and eventually
maybe
you get
should
it.
Just become a YouTube drama channel. That seems to be fun.
No.
Oh, sure. So a lot of people I know seem to be very fulfilled
okay,
and happy
go ahead
doing
and
that.
Do it.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Do it then.
Thank
go
you.
Do it.
I will.
All right. Well, leave a comment. Just give some encouragement to Steve. He's going through a dark place right now.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm sure these guys have real problems, but I wanted to bring up mine so that it's not unfair. You know,
no, that's great.
So we're not just talking at them.
I'm
you know?
Great that you're. I'm great that you're. I'm grateful that you are sharing that. That you're.
Yeah,
like,
man. I don't want to just
feel
like,
it. Yeah.
Hey, guys, I made it, and here from up here on high. Let me throw bread at you and tell you how to win.
No, I think that that's how people think sometimes. Like
I do too.
I didn't realize that because I don't see myself as a successful person.
Yes.
So it's hard for me to see it that way. And so when people are like, "Oh, easy for you to say, all up there,
right, exactly.
being successful," I'm like, "Really? You think this? No! Like this is to me." I don't see it that way yet, but then that's why I'm telling you that, I mean, just embrace where you are, wherever you are, and realize that we're all on somewhere on the journey, you know? And that's such a like cliche thing to say too, but like we're all at different places, you know? And it doesn't mean that I'm at the end or you're at the beginning or I'm in, you know, you don't know where people are in their journey. You just really don't. So my final thought is just I guess celebrate where you're at. That's like the biggest thing I've been focusing on this year is not letting like the little things that used to get me down about like, why am I not here yet? Like I would dwell on that too long. Now I'm like, yay, I'm here. And that's when the growth started happening, is when I was like, I'm so happy with this little thing that I've got. And then I was able to appreciate growth instead of feeling like, oh, finally I get to catch up.
Yeah, you know? No, I'm appreciative of where I'm at, like doing the show with you, doing the JK stuff with the guys, doing my stuff with Mike.
Oh, yeah, and then we bought a house because I wasn't focused on buying a house anymore. I was just like focused on being happy where I was living, you know? And then it's just like that energy of like, I'm happy here, and then more happy things just started flowing in.
I'm appreciative of where I'm at.
I'm not saying you're not.
No, I know.
I'm telling them my thing.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
You already said your final thought.
Okay, I'm good.
All right, cool. Well, that's my final thought, is just celebrate where you're at, and then you are able to appreciate growth more.
Please don't forget to rate us. It really helps out a lot. When you rate us, it makes us feel good in a world that doesn't. Does that help?
Damn.
Does that help?
Yeah, that helps. Okay, guys, subscribe, rate, and view. See you next time, hopefully.
Can't wait for next time, guys. Bye. We got a real delightful one. We're talking to famous serial killer.
Merry Christmas, by the way. I think this is coming out around like Christmas time.
We're talking to a famous serial killer, Jack Kevorkian, about what motivates him on Monday.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.